So we have you have some scripture passages as a bulletin insert, and we're going to read three of them together, and then you can read the others on your own, and we'll be referring to a number of different ones of these. But let's look on the front page that says the renewal of your mind. And we'll read together the second, third, and fourth. So the one from Romans, the one from Luke, and the one from Matthew. Okay? So if you'll join with me, starting with the one from Romans. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. And judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And then from Matthew, more words from Christ, where he said, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. These are just beautiful words of God, beautiful words of abundant life, and may God bless our understanding and our embodiment of these words in the Spirit. Amen. So I got a phone call not long ago that it's one of these phone calls that kind of etch into your mind and etch into your soul. And so the phone rang, I answered it, and the person on the other end said, hello, is this Dr. So-and-so? And I said, no, I'm sorry, you have the wrong number. And she said, I don't have the wrong number. I have the number right here in front of me. This is the number that I dialed. I can see it. I dialed the right number. What do you do with that, about that irrefutable logic, right? Like, I think, all right, so let's make that appointment, right? I didn't say that. That would have been fun. I did not say that. But just crazy, you know, just persistent. So Laura gets some calls. It's very interesting. So that was on her home phone. This is on, so Laura, with Laura's cell phone, she's been getting calls. It's been like 8 years now. And somebody will call, you know, different people will call up and they'll ask for some guy. They'll ask for, and I can't remember what his name is. And there's a guy who used to have that telephone number, right? And this guy owed a lot of money to a lot of people, right? So she has to be convincing over and over again. It's like, sorry, no, I'm sorry, yes. You know, somebody had this number before. No, I'm not him. I don't know him. You know, nothing about that. Thank you very much, goodbye. And then it'll happen again and again and again. And fortunately, you know, so she has to keep going over again. It's like, nope, sorry, wrong number, not me, still not me. And it's taken years, and fortunately for her, you know, after years of this, it's beginning to, you know, it slows down, right? So what's the point? What's the point? We are gatekeepers. We're gatekeepers of the things that come into our mind. We're the gatekeepers of the things that come into our body, of course. We're the gatekeepers of things that come into our soul. And it's not just about our phones, right? We are the gatekeepers. It's up to us in terms of what comes in, what we accept. The messages that come into our mind, bodies and souls. And those things that keep just revisiting, right? Internally, and just keep calling again and again. Those things that we retain, right? Those things that, as the scripture said, that we bind, to what and to whom we will say, you know, sorry, no, that's not me. That's not me. Nope. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. You know, I know, you know, to some of these things, you know, even those things within our mind, you know, we can say, you know, look, okay, I know you've been dialing my mind again and again and again, you know. Not me. Not my number anymore. Even if it used to be your number, you know, even if something applied at a certain time in your life. Sorry, not my number anymore. Bye-bye. Now, the funny thing is, is it seems like we're good at not accepting wrong number phone calls when they come into our phones, right? But it takes something else. It's a little tougher when it comes into who gets to dial our mind, right? And who gets to just drop rotten messages and disturbing messages and just plant them there. And sometimes they get, you know, planted for a day, sometimes forever. Our son Scott, he's 27 years old now. He had a fourth grade teacher who started off every morning in class. She is no longer there, fortunately, but she started off every morning in class with a spelling test, right? And that spelling test, you would either get a 100, or if you got one thing wrong, you would get a 0. Every single day of fourth grade, he started off the day with a big F and a 0. And that was the message, day after day after day after day. And we couldn't stop that. But those messages get embodied and embedded. And it's been years, right? But with those kinds of messages, and we all have those kinds of, you know, messages, something like that inside from our past. And, you know, those types of things, persistent, every time they come up, you just got to go, no, sorry, no, not me. Not me. And I bring that up because we do have, every one of us, something in our past that comes up and rings our mind, that rings our soul, feelings, memories, something that somebody said to us, our parents, something in the third grade. You know. And we don't tend to say, as we would with a phone call, you know, just get off the line. Click. Harassing calls within our minds. I mentioned this before at different times, but it's an interesting fact that, you know, every one of us, every person has between 60 to 80,000 thoughts in our mind going a day. Some are voluntary thoughts that we, you know, when we're reading or something, but a lot of these things are messages that just keep replaying, same messages that we keep revisiting. And they pop up day after day after day. And what happens is we keep reestablishing our sense of self and who we are in relationship to ourselves, in relationship to other people, who we are in relationship to the world. And there's these constant, it's like a constant stream of memo to self. Screwed that up, didn't do that, good job, you know, whatever it is, right? And some can be new, and many are old. And the question is, which ones are nurturing, right? And which ones are toxic? Which ones are helpful? Which ones are just energy suckers? Which ones are just downers and happiness killers? And so we have our scripture passages, and what Jesus is saying in these really beautiful and powerful words is he's pointing out really two fascinating things about our mind. And one is watch out, right? And the other one is this is great news. And these two messages, you know, kind of seemingly polar opposites, it's actually the same message. And that is both the good news and the warning that whatever you retain, you will retain. As long as you retain it, it will be there forever in heaven, he says, you know, whatever you bind shall be bound. And the same is true for whatever we let go. As the gatekeeper, whatever we let go, whatever we do not accept, we also let go for the same time period, just as long which can be forever. And although sometimes we have to keep letting go and keep letting go and keep letting go, like the persistent phone calls, and after a while they start to wind down. The renewal of our mind, one passage says, talks about being the gatekeeper of who and what messages we allow in to whom we say the wrong number. 60 to 80,000 thoughts a day. So we have really busy lines going on inside of our mind. It's really, really busy in there all the time. And some of these, you know, things that ring us up can be, they can be past guilt, you know, they can be voices from the past, they can be people who didn't believe in you. People who belittled you. Maybe your own voice of regrets. I really should have done that. And, you know, just keep replaying old habits, judgments on yourself. Jesus says, what you retain will be retained forever. What you loose will be loosed forever. Nobody is at your control panel except for you. And that's the warning and the good news. Now, there's also great messages that, you know, that can come through that you want to retain, that you want to keep having over and over again. There's a guy in our congregation who has someone who he knows who has some disabilities in certain areas of life, but who is a shining rock star in the area of enthusiasm. And he gets a call, sometimes five a day. For years this has been going on, where he'll get a call and the person will just say, hey, how are you? You're awesome. You're awesome. I love you. Bye. Click. And he, you know, he sees on caller ID that it's that person. He's like, okay, you know, even if I'm in the middle of a million things, I'm picking this one up, right? Because it's just that boost. We can do that for other people. Right? Which is a wonderful thing. So it says in Psalm 139, that's on the flip side of these scripture passages, it says something that's very true, which is to this point. And it talks about who we are at our core, who every single one of us, and Laura's kind of mentioned it in this children's sermon, who we are by God. That we're fearfully and wonderfully made, if you look right in the middle. Just a little bit below the middle. It's one of the best lines, you know. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And the thing is, anything that gums that up has got to go, because it's not from God. And children are so great at embodying that, right? That's why children are beautiful. That's why they're just absolutely fantastic. It hasn't been, the system hasn't been gummed up yet. Right? But then as adults, we start, you know, having these layers, and they're layering over this, just living this embodiment of you are fearfully and wonderfully made. And then we begin to get a little dull and a little less free. And so the process is discovering this again, taking the covers off to discover these things. So anything that supports that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, retain forever. Anything that mars that, dulls that, let it go. So with that, I just want to take a moment to talk about forgiveness, because that was another passage where we hear, judge not, you will not be judged. Condemn not, which can also be read as criticize not. And you'll not be condemned. You'll not live with this critical, judging, negative energy within you. And forgive, and you will be forgiven. You'll be free. So people say, sometimes they say, wait a minute, I didn't do anything wrong. I don't need to be forgiven for anything. It's not what it's about. Not this area. So forgiveness is you know, we talk about it a lot, and because it's pretty misunderstood, okay? We know that the words we use, the messages we retain and give to ourselves and others can either hurt or heal. And so Jesus said, judge not, condemn not, forgive. And he's talking about words, but he's really talking about so much more than words. So much, it's much more, way more potent than that, because his focus is, if you look at his words, it's really about the person who's doing the judging, you. The person who's doing the condemning and what's happening to you. And what happens with you regarding forgiving. It's not talking about, is this a nice thing to do for another person, which a lot of times that's what we think of. It's not talking about virtue. It's virtuous to just, you know, forgive someone, that it's for them. Nope. It's talking about energy and toxicity, right? And well-being and being free and light and happy. Not saying forgive and that in any way lightens the load of the other person. It's all about, read the words, all about what's happening with you, your inner state of being. It may be justified, the condemning feelings, the judgment. It may be completely justified. He's concerned about your state of being. Whether we choose to forgive or not, whether we want to retain that poison in your system or let it go. We know that that phrase about anger, right? It says anger's like swallowing poison and hoping that it'll hurt the other person, right? We know that. So let's recognize a few things that forgiveness is not, right? It's not okaying the act of the other person. It's not okaying the hurt. It's not okaying the inappropriateness or even to the extent of incredible violence. Forgiveness is not in any way masking over something that's bad or making believe like something terrible did not happen. It's not saying that what happened wasn't important or that it didn't ruin lives. It's not in any way condoning or supporting bad behavior or evil. Forgiveness, this forgiveness that he's talking about, is what you're left with, holding the bag of somebody else's bad or evil behavior. And how long are you willing to hold the bag of somebody else's garbage and walk around with somebody else's garbage? What level of suffering do you want to carry with you, and for how long? That's the issue. So it's letting go of a posture of, you know that what the person did was evil, terrible, but I'm just not going to carry it anymore. Nobody's going to bless the wrongdoer. Doesn't mean we have to like the other person, especially what the person did. We actually shouldn't like bad or hurtful behavior, right? It's not about them. So number one, what you retain forever until you let it go. And what you let go forever, although sometimes need to be repeated. Three, forgiveness. Four is our interior reality, our interior design versus exterior. And we're actually going to save that for the time of interior design for Rooms with a View weekend. November 12th, we're going to talk about interior design, but a different kind of interior design. So with that, I'm just going to close with this little image. And it's this. Laura and I were on a retreat with Thich Nhat Hanh. Some of you may have heard of him. He's a wonderful Tibetan Buddhist monk. And from his tradition, it's a tradition that says that we each have 50 seeds within us. A seed of happiness, a seed of anger, a seed of resentment, one of greed, one of ill will. We have a seed of forgiveness. We have a seed of kindness. We have a seed of irritation, stress, and so on. 50 seeds. And like any seed, he says, what we attend to what we plant, if it's to grow. And we choose which ones we fertilize, which ones we water, which ones will grow. And what do we choose? And what do we choose again? So, very simple message this morning. Very, very simple. And very powerful. So may we choose wisely again and again and again. Amen.
We live, Creator God, in a noisy world. A world of cell phones and pagers, of fax machines and email. The pace of life that we have chosen to run often leaves us breathless and exhausted, convinced that there is more to life, but unsure how to find it. So we come to this place of prayer, into a place of sacred silence. A place where we allow ourselves to sit, to slow down, to relax and take deep breaths, to tune in to your holy presence, and to drink deeply of your love. And we find, God, that when we do, we discover that we have raced by thousands of your miracles and have forgotten to stop and take notice of them. And when we step off the wheel and we look around, we can again see that we are, in fact, surrounded by your miraculous blessings. From the of nature, to the wonder and beauty of the people we meet, the laughter of children, the touch of a loved one, a church community that cares about us. And for all those miraculous blessings, God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks for this opportunity to stop and breathe in your Holy Spirit and to be refreshed and renewed. And we know people who are dealing with illness and pain and who are in need of your healing presence, and maybe it's us. And so we offer all of us, all of them, up into prayer, knowing that you are aware of the needs and you will provide an answer. May your grace and peace touch their lives and capture their attention and give them rest. We know people who are afraid of what the future holds for our world and its safety, for our nation and its unrest, for ourselves and our futures. And so we pray, God, that your grace and peace touch our lives, capture our attention, and give us rest. As we work, God, your spirit works through us So fill us with your grace and love and purpose. Empower and embolden us to serve as your hands and heart in this world, so that others may see your light and your love. All these things we pray in the name of Jesus, who showed us the incredible joy and power of a life lived for you. Amen.